You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. We saw plenty of drama throughout this weekend's fixtures. Tottenham came from behind to shock Man City at home in a thrilling 3-3 draw. 10-man Chelsea hold off a feisty Brighton side in a tense 3-2 affair. Trent Alexander-Arnold plays hero for the second week in a row, this time delivering the goal that toppled Fulham 4-3 at Anfield, and things continue to spiral for Erik ten Hag at Manchester United after his side dropped all 3 points in a 1-0 loss at Newcastle. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Okay, Musty, let's start with the game at the Etihad. Ange Postecoglou taking his Spurs team to face Pep Guardiola. I think Pep had said pre-game that there's going to be goals in this, or he felt there's goals in this. He was right. There were six of them, three on each side. A fascinating game, mate, in terms of style of play, system of play, way of doing things, believing in what you do. I thought it was a real example, Rob, in the end of Postecoglou saying, yeah, we've come off three defeats, and there was a lot of talk about whether he should change and, you know, the players he isn't doesn't have available. But this guy is going to, as he said, stay in a job or not playing a certain way, a certain style. And the big thing I took away from his post-match interview was the belief he has in what he's doing and the belief he has in his group of players. I thought it was fascinating to go to Manchester City and talk about belief and talk about wanting his team to play better, when most people seem to go to Manchester City and actually are so scared of City that City get on top of the game and dominate you.
Yeah, it's just an interesting time to watch football in the Premier League, Rob, in terms of, you know, other teams' kind of tactical ideas, thoughts going into matches. I mean, in our era, and even in recent decade, really, most teams go there and just shut up shop and try and block out and try and hit on the counter. And to be fair, in odd moments, that's worked. But for the majority, it hasn't. And I think there was some that thought maybe, given the injuries that they've got going to City, they would do something different. But I think we all knew that he wasn't going to do anything different. And because of the result 3-3 and because of the nature of it, I don't know, maybe it's gonna persuade other teams to sort of think, you know what, let's just keep doing the same thing. What I like about the idea from Postecoglou, Rob, is that this group of players learn one way. They learn one way to play, and that's total football, from the back to the front. No matter where it is, home or away, no matter who it's against, strong or weak, and no matter what their squad situation, the team strength is, they continue to do the same thing, which is clear. It's clearly, you know, easier for the players to say, oh, okay, yeah, well, today we're in this kind of defensive mode, and then maybe in a game we can go into our other expansive mode. Yeah, they're just one mode. And I think the result showed that you can do that, even against Man City. We'll get onto City, Robin, and why they didn't win this game in a second. But it was a very interesting. They try to play out in the first half, Tottenham, and we did a little breakdown of Spurs making it really hard, high press. Spurs are a little bit fiddly and fancy to try and break through that. They did it very, very few times in the first half. Of course, brilliantly for the goal from the set piece, the corner they conceded and went the other end and scored with Heung-min Son. But they continued to do the same thing. And we've seen that before, Rob. Persistence in the football, trying to play out, make a mistake. Yeah. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And in the second half, Man City's and a willingness to press just waned a little bit, and the football worked from Tottenham, and we end up having a brilliant game of football. Just a really great example, Rob, of keep doing our thing. We're going to try over and over again, yeah. And we're playing for those opportunities where we do beat the press and we get chances to score goals, which they did. It's a brilliant game.
Yeah, and Postecoglou will base his team on that. And I thought what was really interesting, I think Tim made a really interesting comment on the broadcast today, where he talked about when you see Postecoglou, he stands at the side of the pitch, he's not having to go at players for making mistakes or things aren't going well. It's almost like he's continually giving them the confidence and the belief to play in the way that he wants. And I thought what's really interesting, it got me thinking, Rob, because he talked about at half-time, he sort of foresaw that, you know, if Spurs get a little bit overconfident and start, like, the skills and the nutmegs and all that, that's the kind of thing that can hurt you. Now, it led to Bissouma doing something very similar, you know, City get the goal and you know, Spurs could have lost the game at that stage. But it got me thinking, Rob, a little bit, and it was an interesting one where I thought, let me chuck this one past Musty, because Postecoglou, in his management style, and we've all had managers who seems like it's about, come on, guys, you know, I don't want you thinking negative, it's about positivity, it's about doing things, it's about playing with the freedom that will get the best of you. Now, the past two Spurs managers, which were Conte and Jose Mourinho, were very, very much the opposite. You know, everybody was set, you sit a certain way. There's a restriction to, you know, being individual. It's about the collective. And it kind of got me thinking, Rob, well, Yves Bissouma's an interesting one, because which side of the fence is he? Because I believe maybe it needs to be a bit in between. I think Yves Bissouma's got to understand the responsibility of where he is and being in the team and what the consequences are while playing with the freedom. I think you can go too far one way where players lack a little bit of that kind of game, what's the word, intelligence, understanding, security that you need. And you can go too far the Conte and Mourinho way, where you restrict players, where they don't do anything, they're just like robots. And I just thought that it was an interesting one with Postecoglou. Is there some players who need that go out, you know, with Sons and whatever, but is there some players who need to have a little bit more discipline about the game?
Yeah, probably. It's interesting, Robin. So what you're saying is given the license that he's giving them, some players go over the top? And I think when you're at Man City
almost
away,
almost take for granted.
Yeah, we saw Emerson Royal do it in the first half, try and nutmeg. Yves Bissouma try and nutmeg, like playing out away at the Etihad against the champions. Like that's what you're talking, isn't it? Where, like, listen, we want you to play.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But that's not
correct.
That's not playing.
Come on, guys.
That's not professional type of football. So yeah, I think so you mentioned that half time. You know. Maybe it's the thing that you have to watch for, Rob, given his style, his kind of, you know, allowance of this sort of football, that the players don't get a little bit blasé and think that they can take liberties a little bit trying to play it, because particularly against City's press, it's really hard to do. And Tim mentioned it at half-time, didn't he? It was kind of funny that he said, Rebecca asked us, like, what would you do differently? And I think Tim said, well, he might just say the players, you know, less of the nutmegs. And my goodness, didn't we see when it led to a goal in the second half as well? So those little details, I'm sure, will be ironed out. Bigger picture, though, is that, you know, that philosophy is, you know, that's got them a point. That's got them a point. I mean, Jim Beglin, Rob, and we know Jim very well. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy and a really good commentator. You know, it's tempting for commentators and analysts and fans and whatever to look at them and say, oh, you know, and Rebecca kind of sometimes hinted with her questions, is this really the right thing to do? To be so intricate away from home. And Jim in commentary almost said, like, maybe they should vary it a little bit and go a little bit longer, where I don't think that's not going to happen because you know, Robert, you're like, well, okay, so we're varying it. Oh, right then, so I'm a midfield player. If we're not going to play out, I need to know that because I'm going to run forward and support the forward. Are we doing it? Are we not doing it? I just think that gets a little bit of confusion. If everybody's like, we're going to play out, we're playing out, then everybody, Rob, knows... Yeah. Where to be to try and help that plan of playing out, instead of, like, if it's going long, I'm going to start running towards my forwards for the second balls for the knockdowns. Yeah. So I don't necessarily think, even though it seems to make sense, change it a little bit, go a little bit longer. I don't know whether that's the right way. He doesn't change anything. And look what happened. Look what happened. It opened up. Yeah. The City got a little bit more. And we'll switch to City now, Rob, if you're okay with that. That City just fell away from the game again, Rob, like they did against Liverpool in the second half. They get up, they have an advantage. Mm. And I'll throw a question back to you. Is there something different with City where this year they're a little overconfident when they take the lead, particularly at home, and fall away from what got them there in the first place in terms of the high pressing, the energy and the quality? They drop back and let Spurs back into the game.
It's a good question. I knew it was coming. Just quickly finishing on the Spurs angle, as you were saying, I think, I agree with you, I'm the same with the Postecoglou thing, where sometimes, Rob, I think your system of play and belief in what you do is more important maybe when you lose or things don't go so well as when it's going well. Because when you're going well, everybody can pile on, oh, it's great football, they're great to watch, he's changed the football club, he's changed players. As soon as things start going wrong, oh, should he go back to the way they were?
Exactly.
Well, actually, no. That's where he's got to stay with what he is.
Yeah.
And he's believed in it, and now they've just gone away and drawn with the champions, gone toe-to-toe, and find themselves in a good place. So, no, absolutely not. In terms of City, I don't think it's quite as easy as saying they're gone a bit. I know people will suggest the treble, and I know people suggest, like, I don't know, is it winning titles on the bounce? Eventually it's going to wear off on you. I'm not sure that it's just quite as simple as that. Although Pep did point to, and I take a quote from him, where he said, as a group, we've not got to be ever complacent about winning things, because winning's so hard, and there'll be a time when we're not winning things. Now, it was a bit of a weird kind of Pep putting stuff out there, but whether he's starting to feel, my overriding thought with City is they're not quite at their peak. They have days when they dismantle people with the football, and we know those days are many. There's days now when the opposition are better. You talked about the standard of coaching. There's now six or seven teams who would feel they can at least give City a game, and I think in certain circumstances feel they can win. Liverpool went there a couple of weeks ago, mate, and were disappointing to draw.
Yeah.
Spurs went there today and may come away and say we're disappointed to draw. I think that changes the outlook of your approach. I think it's a better coaching. I think these better players are better set up. And also that City get better Christmas onwards. And that City, you know, if you look year on year, they're not far off where they normally are, but second half of the season is when they seem to kick on. And with De Bruyne to come back in that time and Stones to come back in that time, you probably see a more similar City than we've seen with that drive, with that hunger and with that quality that overcomes the opposition.
Right, it's interesting, Rob. So you're basically saying there's nothing different with their attitude and their drive and their confidence or their overconfidence or their desire. You're seeing it as, you know what, they're not playing at the peak right now. We've seen this before. They'll find that peak later on. You think it's more that than
correct.
Where more maybe we're all trying to find a little chink in the armour of their mentality.
Yeah, I think people are looking, you know, the Grealish. There was a big Grealish thing. Oh, he doesn't score. He scored today. Yeah. You know, Doku's come in. Mm. You know, I think sometimes it can be a bit too easy to do that and look for something that if somebody makes a mistake. But listen, time will tell. What I do feel is, and I've said on the potties before, I think less points wins you the title this year. I think more teams are going to take more points off each other, Rob, especially up at that top end of the table. And City generally find the way and find the form that gets them to the top of the table. Mm. This year might be a challenge because there's other teams who might be contesting it.
Mm. Absolutely, mate. Well said. And, what a game it was. It was guaranteed goals. We did get goals. You know what? In some ways, Rob, I thought it could be more wild than what it was. End up 3-3. It wasn't quite as crazy as I thought, actually.
No, it didn't lose.
But still a great game.
I hear you. Just finally, Rob, on an incident, and I know we will touch on it in different ones. The refereeing incident with Haaland with a foul that he sort of allows him to play on. Haaland plays in, Grealish then blows the whistle, calls it back, obviously right at the end of the game. Yep. City unhappy, Spurs, you know, a bit going on.
Yep.
How did you see that, and how did you read that situation?
Well, we it's one of two outcomes we thought here, Rob. I mean, it's a mistake from the referee. You know, it's just a mistake. Yeah. I don't feel strongly about this one at all. He's either, and this is what Tim noticed, he put the whistle in his mouth. He may have peeped out a little whistle, right? Then he thought, I'll play advantage. Then he's like, well, I did actually whistle. I've got to whistle again. That, and stop it. Or...
Yeah.
He's not blown his whistle. He's won an advantage. He's seen the ball play up there. And I think it got a little bit behind Grealish, and maybe he's thinking it wasn't a great chance. I think Tim's probably right of those two, that he might have just peeped his whistle.
He might have blew just it. Peeped. Yeah.
Yeah, and said, you know what, I don't know. That's
second
a difficult
thought.
One.
Maybe
it was
second
a bit of a brain,
in his head.
A brain fart, if you like, where he's like, that's absolutely an advantage and play on. It really, really is. It was a
just
mistake
let it go,
referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree the same. I thought it was one of them. Yeah. Let's move it on, mate. Should we move it on to
Chelsea-Brighton?
Another interesting game at Stamford Bridge. So Chelsea, never quite sure what you're going to get from Chelsea, my friend. I did a little note of kind of recent results for Chelsea. Decent 2-2 draw with Arsenal. Then they lose to Brentford. They get a 4-1 win against Spurs. Yes, it was down to 9-men Spurs. They get a 4-4 draw with Man City. They go to Newcastle, they lose 4-1. And then they beat Brighton at home down with 10 men in the second half. 3-2. So a bit like... all over the place with Chelsea. Not quite sure what you're going to get. No. We've talked about the inconsistency with young players, with unfamiliar, no consistency in the lineup and in the system. What did you learn today, mate? A 3-2 win v Brighton. What can you tell me more than you didn't know before kickoff about Chelsea?
Well, I think it's more, for me, confirmation that they are nowhere near where they expect to be. I thought they were particularly poor in the first half. And I'll say that because they were 2-0 up, two set pieces. Really, they did well on the set pieces and the goals. And that. But the set pieces are kind of a different... The general football in the first half, Rob, and maybe because they were 2-0 up, they didn't feel the need to be progressive with their football. I thought it was particularly poor.
Yeah.
I thought Brighton looked a more comfortable side, a better side in possession. I think the numbers suggested that, though they were trailing in the game. So I was disappointed. And I said it at half-time. I'm not going to let the 2-0 scoreline or whatever. Did they score?
Yeah.
Maybe it was 2-1. Yeah. Maybe it was 2 at half-time. You know, I still was disappointed. Chelsea at the Bridge at home that were so disjointed and not great. Now, I'll go on to say that they were fortunate to win this game. They were fortunate. And the reason I say that is that the first part of this is Moises Caicedo, Rob. We've seen many, many double yellow cards, red cards this season in the Premier League.
Yeah,
more
second
than I think
yellows.
I just felt how Moises Caicedo got away with those two challenges whilst on a yellow, I'll never understand. I just don't understand that. And, of course, VAR doesn't check a yellow card. And then the other one was the incident, the penalty incident that led to, I thought, the referee, it was Craig Pawson, with a Milner situation where he's in a good position, he's right behind it, he gets a sense of the game, the speed of the players, the physical nature of them coming together, and waves it off as a no call. And then, for me, Gerard Gillett, the VAR, is wrong to stop the game and say to him, you know what, we think this is a clear and obvious error. Because I didn't think as a clear and obvious error. And this is my major beef at the moment this season, is that we are re-refereeing games with the help of the angles and the slow motions and the technology, and taking more away from the referee than I think we've ever seen with the VAR situation. Yeah. So, again, like, this is for clear and obvious, Rob, where... Listen, I don't know whether you saw, you probably didn't see the Postecoglou. You know, we go and we watch all the press conferences when we're in the studio, before we get in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made a really good, I guess it was a rant about, listen, this was brought in for everybody in a room saying, that's, and we had one this weekend, didn't we? The handball that struck the head of the player. That's what, obvious Cole one, like, that was a mistake. Mm. And we're not there for, like, some people in a room, well, if you look at it from that angle, we get 14 replays and this slow motion. Well, no, it's just so. I mean, maybe, you know, if we re-refereed it to the nth degree, there might be some, maybe plenty that say, you know
find,
what,
he might. Well, you can probably find something, Rob.
But what do you? Yeah. What you enough of my babbling on, Rob. I'm like, leave it alone. What did you think?
Yeah. Well, I wrote down the two things. One, I sense. And I said it last week. There was during the last week. There was a penalty incident. It was Fulham on the. And I said, VAR at times is trying to insert itself in the game. It's like we've got to get in. It is our chance. Let's go in. Yeah. I'm just not happy. The other thing, I think it's undermining referees, Rob, making calls on the field. And the second thing is, when the referee's called over to the monitor, there should be one real kind of angle or one real thing where you say, here's the clear and obvious error that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
So maybe he hasn't seen a pull or something that's not there. But based on, you're pretty much showing him what he saw, and he's already said that's not a foul. Then he runs it again, and then... is forced, almost like is pushed towards saying, well, there is a bit of contact, well, there is a bit of... I just felt it was another incident where VAR doesn't have to get involved. It's a referee's made a good call on a good decision, and we play on.
Yeah.
We play on, Rob. We don't stop the game. We don't look for, as you say, let's find an angle where there's something that we can say, well, that's a little bit contentious. I mean, it's... We don't want to cut. VAR is off the Christmas list, mate. We're not talking about it till New Year. But I totally agree. I felt it was one of those.
That was a big moment, Rob. That was the defining moment of the game.
Yeah,
that was it.
Massive
that was a penalty that wins the game 3-2.
Yeah, it just made four subs, hadn't he? I noticed De Zerbi and Milner was one of those come on, and almost like his first action against Mudryk. So, and it does change games, and it's points, Rob, and points are so hard to get in the Premier League, as we see week in, week out. Mm. You can't just be dashing them away with these things. Mm. I agreed a little bit with Chelsea. I had one of my analogy with Chelsea, and I said, Chelsea's still like a jigsaw puzzle, mate, at the moment, right? And... you know, on a jigsaw puzzle, at the front of the puzzle, you've got the picture of what it looks like when it's all done. Yeah. Chelsea's box ain't got a picture on it at the moment. It doesn't quite know what it is, mate. It's got
loads of pieces, but they don't know where to go.
All the pieces there, it doesn't know how to put it together because we haven't got the picture yet. And that's an analogy to... what are this Chelsea going to be under... we can see what Postecoglou is going to be. We can see what De Zerbi's... and I know they're missing players, and I know they're young, and I know, so I get all that, Rob, but I'm pushing on. You can still try to do the certain things you want to do with the players that may get better, may understand it more, I'm still not quite sure what this Chelsea are.
And listen, you're right, and let's just remind ourselves, Rob, over $500 million dollars spent in one window in the summer, let alone the money spent before that. $500 million spent on this team, and they're sat 10th, bang in the middle, 19 points after 14.
Yeah.
Plus three goal difference. $500 million, and they're... so it is remarkable. Yeah. And I'll stick to what I said in day one. All these young players, none proven really in the Premier League, and some are at the highest level, and I don't know whether they're that effective. But again, I don't want to go over old ground. It was a 3 points, by the way. Let's remember that. It was. They did win the game.
Very much a work in progress. Yeah, yeah. Away at Man United, isn't it, next for Chelsea?
It's Wednesday, isn't it?
So it's going to be an interesting game. Those two go head to head.
Okay.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Okay, my friend, there was drama all over the place in the Premier League this weekend. Yep. Liverpool 4, Fulham 3. couldn't quite believe as things were dropping in. I'm seeing goal flashes here, and the 80th minute, Fulham looked like 3-2 up, going to win it. 10 minutes later, Liverpool in a couple of minutes have got an Endo goal and a Trent, well, second for me, but first in statistics. And Fulham, Liverpool get a win again at Anfield. I read something, Rob, actually. Somebody said it would have been Klopp's second home loss in 104 games, but it said with spectators in the stadium. So I think there's something like, obviously, they must have lost a couple of games during the COVID thing, but there's something slightly incredible about Liverpool, Klopp and Anfield that gives them a chance, I would say, Rob, that gives them a chance. Mm. I'm still not sure. I still think games like today are days when they convince themselves. My analogy of Liverpool today is looking in the bathroom mirror saying, we can be champions. No, you can be a champion. No, you are a champ. I just feel like it's still not quite champions-ish football yet.
Yeah.
But they're in there with a shout.
Listen, I love so much about the rebuild in midfield. I think we know they've got spectacular players. Some of the goals today, Rob, particularly in the Liverpool. In the tactics session, we just broke down a few of these strikes we saw this weekend. And some of the strikes in this game were absolutely incredible. You know, for me, three goals against, you know, Fulham scoring three at Anfield, it's still...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my kind of concern about Liverpool, because I believe so much in their attacking play. Like you said, the spirit of Anfield, the manager, that football club, and how they can get things going. I just, you know, they found a way today, but they don't need to go back. And they haven't been, to be fair. Their defensive record's pretty good. They're second in the league table.
Mm.
You know, they've got the joint best defensive record. So, you know, maybe I'm going way too early here, but I just worry that they're going to...
Yeah.
They're going to concede a few too many goals to be right there at the very end. But I shouldn't really say that because, again, the record right now after 14, they concede a goal again, 14 goals conceded.
But sometimes your eyes tell you different than stats, Rob, don't they? Sometimes you see things or you see moments where things haven't happened, you go, that's not good. You know, people getting looks at goal, people getting in behind and things. Yeah. So, listen, you tell it as you see it. The stats are great, the numbers are good. I don't think Jurgen Klopp's sitting at home going, defensively, we're exactly where I want to be. And
but
I don't
better,
get the sense of that.
They are
I still
better.
Think there's.
Yeah. Better that in that regard.
It is better. And that's going to be important. And these goals in the team, and, you know, as we see today, these goals from different places, which is going to be important. But I still, for me, there's still a bit of they need convincing, and they need to convince me more than anything that they're going to be, they can go all the way and challenge for whether it's Arsenal or City at the top of the table.
Yeah, when these games go on, and this is it with total transparency here. When all these games go on at the same time, you know, we have a main game to look at in the studio, which was the Man City Spurs game at this time. We're looking up at other screens in our studio, looking at the goals and breaking down stuff, and then there's another goal goes in, and there's this penalty. Mm. It's hard to get a real detailed look at them.
You don't really get,
So, you know, I ain't going to... I'm not going to break down this game because I didn't get a close look at it. And of course, there'll be weekends where we do get a close look and we can have a deep dive into them. I know is some of those goals, and Trent Alexander-Arnold... Talk about a clutch player. I mean, that's twice now where he stepped up, and he's a super talented footballer. Played a lot of the times when I did look up, he was in the middle of the park in central midfield making things happen there. But what a game. What a game of drama. Fulham, they still, you know, they're missing attacking players, etc. But they still punch well under Marco Silva. But what a comeback. What a feel-good factor for Liverpool given that situation when they come back and win 4-3. So, very, very good stuff. Was that his first Liverpool goal, Alexis McAllister, or Premier League goal? I think it's
Alexis McAllister,
which is somewhat a little bit surprising. I know he's playing in a deeper role, but what a strike. Half volley, Rob, 30
yards
out.
Strike.
Absolutely magnificent.
Wow.
What a player he is.
The free kick from Trent and you know, the late one with the drama.
Endo's goal,
as underappreciated. Endo's goal, lovely slap. And, you know, I thought Trent was close to being... I mean, if he is underappreciated, he shouldn't be, because he's almost redefining the modern role of a fullback. and playing right on top of his game now. Yeah. And you know, all that talk about where England, you know, is he going to be good enough for England? England should be making sure that Trent Alexander's a part of things going forward to the Euros that we saw Drew earlier this week. Mm. But yeah, great win for Liverpool. Yeah. Again, Anfield in the cup playing well, 3 points. I think that gets them into second spot, aren't they, now just behind Arsenal. And, yeah, more to come, I would say. I still think there's more to come from Liverpool, which is the slightly frightening thing for the rest of the league.
Rob, if you don't mind...
OK, my friend, let's move it to...
Yeah. Move it on. Let's move it on to Newcastle. Yeah. I mean, of all the games this weekend...
Absolutely.
I did not enjoy this one. I know it's not a ton of goals. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the... Yeah. The energy of Newcastle United, Rob, with the same team again to the Champions League.
Incredible.
And PSG, and then, you know, no subs. I mean, my thought was, can they still get the energy? But that the fans and supporters in St James's Park pushed this team forward. We saw, Rob, two teams that are very close in terms of the Premier League points, etc. But talk about two teams with a different spirit, mentality, togetherness, direction, leadership, team ethic. I mean, night and day difference. Now, we know United, Manchester United, that is, both Uniteds. Manchester United have got star individuals that have got them out of trouble before. But how about Newcastle United, Rob, in terms of a team that... unbelievable work ethic, togetherness, grinding, tough, durable, talented. I thought it was a brilliant game of football. Newcastle absolutely deserved winners at 1-0. The scoreline flatters United, Manchester United a little bit. What a good game, Rob, and what a good team this Newcastle United team is.
I think you hit it on the head when I just put, you know, two teams heading in different directions with different guys in charge. Eddie Howe hasn't got as good a players probably as Manchester United. Some of the individuals. I mean, let's just take Marcus Rashford and Anthony Gordon.
Of course.
Two wide players who both playing for England. Who both one's trying to get a game for England and one's playing for England.
Yep.
Let's just look at what they do.
Brilliant.
Their body language, what they give to their club, what they do in terms of their defending responsibility, their attacking prowess, their productivity. Oh. I mean, it couldn't be a bigger contrast in two players, Rob, who absolutely sum up the difference between. And Manchester United, I've got the sense, Rob, where I watched Ten Hag and listened to the interview and, you know, a few of the players and these rumours again, he's for Lowell. It's almost like Manchester United are happy now to play the underdog. Oh, we're Man United. We've got all these players, aren't we? There's always a reason why Manchester United aren't playing well, aren't doing well, aren't controlling games. It's like they've become all of a sudden, I don't know, a promoted team in the league, and we've got, you know, they're underdogs. This Man United are playing Newcastle. There was times when Newcastle, however good they were, have struggled to live with a great United team. This Eddie Howe team gave them an absolute lesson in team spirit and character, mate. Forget all the other bits. Forget the football and the what you do and what you don't do and stats and numbers. Just a team who wanted to do what they've done after as hard a week as United have had, as many players out as United have, but want to do something for the team, for the manager and for the set of fans. And the contrast was an embarrassment. And I don't use that word. It was an embarrassment to Manchester United.
Rob, where are we? But by the way, you know, we swing from one to another. And now we swing from, oh my goodness, you know, Man United, this, that and the other. Then they come back and I think I said the last game, well, that's better. That's it. They're starting to climb out of a hole now.
3-0 v Everton. 3-0,
yeah, really comfortable versus Everton. The Champions League game, for the most part, was better. Galatasaray away, the goalkeeper chucks a couple of goals in, but it was generally decent. And then they go away in a tough environment, difficult place to go, not a ton of rest. Same for both teams, although, you know, all fairness, Manchester United, I think, had a day's less rest and they got a little bit of travel. And your analogy is a really good one, Robert, again, Anthony Gordon, you know, and Marcus Rashford. Now, what we did focus on the studio today, Rob, was you know, you see the clips afterwards of Rashford coming off and Martial coming off and Ten Hag, they're looking, cheesed off with the managers, they come off. And now I'm not torn, but there's two sides to this. The first side of it is Martial and Marcus Rashford. How about stop being a sulky and fed up because you're out of the game, and whatever isn't right for you in this team or in this with this manager, it's affecting you. How about you give something back? One of the most important lessons I learned in football from a very early age is that players are there to please the manager. The manager's not there to please the players. The players are there, and that was my number one goal every single day I go in training and play in a match, is to please my manager. Now, sometimes, you know, I feel he's unfair to me. That still continues with me as my prime objective. Yeah. Yeah. These two players have had plenty of opportunities, particularly Marcus Rashford still in the side after not playing well. The other side of the coin is, does Erik ten Hag have to do a better job of getting the team spirit and getting people on board and players not to look like they're fed up and that maybe is this the guy to lead us forward? We've had that many times at the football club. So I am torn on it, Rob, a little bit in terms of, you know, who's more at fault here? Ten Hag for not getting the players excited about playing for Manchester United, or some of these players have been here a while that look flipping down in the dumps, you know, face like a smacked ass, and do a little bit better for their manager?
Well, eventually, Rob, it comes on the manager, and you're right. Maybe it was a different era when you had to please the manager or you'd be out the team and you wouldn't get the new contract, and so you were driven to perform for yourself and for your future. It's very different now, Rob. The very fact we are talking about Anthony Martial leading the line for Manchester United in 2023, we are, tells you everything. Yeah. Tells this guy has not been right for this football club for the last 5 years, Rob, and he's still there. Marcus Rashford is an interesting one. Because I look at Anthony Gordon, we'll go back to that contrast. Remember he fell out with Eddie Howe, had a big tantrum when he came off. I think it was Fulham away, if my mate, or Brentford. Yeah. And he got bought on, he bought off, and he had a tantrum, and there was all talk, oh, you know, he's coming for all this big money. Eddie Howe handled that, Rob. He managed him, and look what we're seeing now.
Right.
Absolutely seen. Erik ten Hag doesn't seem to me as though he's that kind of manager who can manipulate those situations, get players back on side. We're now at the point with Marcus Rashford, who signed a four-year, I think, somewhere close to £350,000 to £400,000 a week, who at the moment, Rob, doesn't deserve to start in your first 11. Mm. Let's get it right. Now, my question, maybe if I'm backing Rashford, is: tell me one Manchester United player who's playing well. Give me one who's playing somewhere near their capacity. Maguire's come back and done a bit better. Bruno's probably at a consistency at times. We've had a flash of Garnacho. We've had a flash of one, two, and then there's no. So where's the base for success collectively and individually for this group? You have to look at the manager for that, Rob.
Yeah.
And I think of all the signings he's made and the decent players he's inherited are all playing way below where they should be. Yeah. That is my worry for Manchester United.
And that accountability lies with Erik ten Hag. I did a bit of a stats, you know, dive into it. So he's had three windows. He's spent more than $500 million. And I had a big list of the players, right? Yeah, $500 million on players, right, to make his own team. And I think in terms of numbers, I think it's 11 or 12 new players. That's a whole new team. And if you go through that list, Rob, Lisandro Martinez, the Argentine, I'd say he's a successful signing. He's out injured right now. They miss him.
Yeah.
But a very good signing.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, by the way, Rob, other than that, and there's been flashes from Casemiro, there's been flashes from Eriksen, flashes for others, but so many players that haven't done anything. I'll make it very simple, right, Rob? And I can't think anything's going to change my mind on this. I'll make it very simple. If at the end of the season, Manchester United are not in the top four positions, or actually, it might be five, because there might be another Champions League spot.
Yeah, the Champions League
spot. If they don't qualify
for
the Champions League, then his time is up. It's up. And I know Manchester United fans are frustrated. Oh, here we go again. We're changing around. And, well, you do change around until you get the right guy. If it's proven after that, it'll be almost 2 years in charge. It'll be four transfer windows,
yeah.
500 million plus more. If you can't show development from last year, which was a step up last year, and you go back down again, and we get the production from new signings of what we've got, then there's got to be another change. There's a perfect guy out there somewhere for Man United, Rob. We've seen it with the guy that goes in at Aston Villa. We've seen it the guy that goes in at Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
We see it in the guy that goes in at Brighton Hove Albion. There are perfect fits in football, right? And if Man United have to change another one, then so be it. We've seen it before with different clubs, particularly Chelsea. They keep changing. Ah, here we go. Winner. It's okay. I don't think we're in that phase anymore, Rob, where we stick 2 or 3, 4 years. He'll get it right. Listen, you have four windows over nearly a 2 year period, and you're going down the way, particularly a club like Manchester United, then somebody else has a go. That guy might pop in the door. And when he pops in the door and the vibe changes and the feeling changes, Jim Ratcliffe's going to bring a whole new hierarchy.
Yeah,
we understand.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say.
I think that's
the big point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that becomes your big point to the argument, is that a new owner coming in or part owner with a view of how sporting franchises should run, putting the right people in the right places, doesn't have any real affinity to Ten Hag. I think with the Glazers it was a bit of an easy option and, you know, let them, you know, tick along as long as the finances were coming in. I'd agree with you. I think with Jim Ratcliffe, there could be something of a change, man.
Rob, let me just chuck it back here, because I'm going to chuck in my weekly underappreciated performer. And it is from a player in this game. You'll be not surprised it's from a Newcastle United player. And it's one of those, again, where it's like underappreciated / watch this guy. Tino Livramento, 21 years of age, can play right back. Yeah. Played left back in this game. He is a talent, Robbie Earl.
Yeah.
He is an absolute talent, and he can slot in different spots. Again, at a great age, real good quality on the ball, really good pace, was very comfortable in an unusual position. Trippier plays where he wants to play on the right. Livramento switches over to the left-hand side. I think this kid is a really, really good player. And I try and throw these guys forward. And so maybe some of our viewers and listeners will know all about him and appreciate what he does. Maybe others, not so much. But watch him. Very, very good young player.
Yeah.
He's had his injury issues after joining Newcastle United, so we haven't seen that much of him. But he's fit now, looks sharp now. He's going to be a future very important national team player for England, Tino Livramento. I just think he's one to watch, and he'll a very good game, and he's kind of new to the team a little bit. I think he's an outstanding talent, so he gets my award for this weekend.
It's a good shout, really good shout. I saw him playing in the League Cup, I think, when Newcastle went to United, Rob. He was excellent that day as well. I think he played right back then. I think they gave Trippier a bit of a rest, but as you say, he can play both sides.
Comfy on the ball.
Talented, can run with the ball, can got good delivery, he's got good size, good strength. And just what you would sense, Rob, when we're talking about transfers, just a good bit of business.
My goodness.
You know, you get him from Chelsea, you get him at a good age, you get a couple of years just to get him back. He had a bad injury, didn't he, that just hampered his progress a little bit, but he's coming back to full fitness, you know, and what a great sort of understudy to Trippier, who continues to keep delivering good things. I'm all over that one. Livramento, I think, is a really good shout. And I mean, England are blessed with plenty of good right backs at the moment, mate. Your mate Gareth wouldn't know who to pick.
We've got so many. And just finally on it, Rob, I just want the signings that Newcastle made compared to Man United. I mean, I just look at the starting lineup. You know, Isak's a great signing.
Nine, seven in ten.
Oh, it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, 7 in 10, I think it is. You got Anthony Gordon.
Yeah.
Becoming a key player, Rob. He's becoming a very key player for this football
club.
Livramento, Trippier, I think, was Eddie Howe's first signing. Nick Pope in goal. I mean, go on and on. Bruno. It's all about recruitment. I'm sorry, it is. It's all about recruitment. Who you bring in. Newcastle have got it spot on with good people in those higher positions within the football club.
And just fingers crossed for Nick Pope. You did mention him, Rob. He might have caught his shoulder, didn't they? They're talking about Eddie Howe today. They're going to see the medical people. They're hoping he doesn't have to have an operation. But
he's already had one, Rob.
He's already won on it.
He's already dislocated it. He's got surgery, and he's done it again.
Recurrence of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's going to need a big pinning. And so hopefully, fingers crossed, it's not as bad as first thought. But obviously, that's going to be a massive blow to Newcastle, losing Nick Pope, who's been a big part of that defensive lineup that's done him so well in the Premier League and in Europe this season. So good luck to Nick Pope on that one.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, mate, let's move it on to the other big game of the weekend for Arsenal, home to Wolverhampton Wonders, a Wolverhampton Wonders team we know. They play good football under Gary O'Neill, can be a danger, and have got some threats, certainly, in the top of the pitch. Chan Wang's been in good form. But Arsenal got the job done, Rob, in a way that I think, should I say, for 20, 25 minutes, I think we saw some of the football we'd all come to love last season with Arsenal. Second half was a little bit more pragmatic from them. I thought they did a reasonable job of trying to keeping things tight, and it almost felt it was a bit of the old Arsenal from last season and the new Arsenal from this season, where tough to play against, ain't going to give too much away. I mean, a Zinchenko error really gave Wolves their goal, but I didn't mind Arsenal not being. I used to remember when we played United back in the day, and some of the good Liverpool teams who would play really well for 20, 25 minutes and blow you away, score two or three goals, and then they kind of, I wouldn't say coast is the wrong word, but they knew the game was over. They'd won the game in those spells with the Yorks and the Coleys and Beckhams and Scholes at the game, sometimes before Europe, sometimes after Europe. We always used to think we didn't want United in any of those games because we always felt they got a sense of, let's get this one out of the way and we can concentrate on things. I just thought that was the kind of performance we got from Arsenal. Yes, I thought football was really good. I thought second half it wasn't as great. Mm. But I kind of like an Arsenal that doesn't have to play great football that can win games.
Yeah, I agree with most of that. I think the first half was top class Arsenal. And then at halftime, Rob, we're very, very comfortable. I think I made the comment that sometimes champions, or oftentimes champions, win a lot of games easily. And I feel like at Arsenal the last year, they had a great season, came very close, but a lot of them were like heroic last-minute goals. You know, God, something's happening here. They but really, you know, winning games easily without any stress or having to really flat out your performance to get those 3 points is a good sign. So to half-time, at 2-0, I was like, that's good. That's really, really good. And I think I said to Rebecca in the studio, whatever happens, either go on and score more goals but at least be in total control. So I think where I'm a little different to you, Rob, is that it should have been comfy. It should have been, whether they don't go on and score more goals, I agree with your point and I get your point. It doesn't have to blow everybody away three, four, fives and strain every sinew to do that. But be in control. And Zinchenko, Rob, great footballer, but there's many, many times I feel like where he just gets caught doing something, tries to force a ball in. He's a little bit casual on the ball. Did Arsenal get a little bit casual? Listen, do I want perfection or closer to it? Yeah, probably, but it ended up being a bit nervy, Rob. And it wasn't hanging on, but it's like it wasn't as comfortable as what the performance deserved, particularly in the first half an hour, some of that lovely, creative, penetrating football that was like, oh, that's it. That's kind of what we enjoyed last year. Tons of credit for Arsenal. It is another 3 points. It's just, it was almost a really good 90 minutes, Rob. And it'd been a good 90 minutes, it would have been 2-0. But no drama. Make sure you're solid with your playing out. Don't take any risks. Zinchenko, a little casual. And it's a lovely finish from Mateus Cunha. Made it a little nervy. But we're Arsenal sneaky, like 2 points clear. Haven't been great all the time, but are winning in different ways. I think the mentality's stronger. Declan Rice adds a mentality. It's as simple as that. He adds a toughness that they didn't have last year. Well, maybe less of. They had a little bit of that with Granit Xhaka. But no, good story for Arsenal. And that football, if they can do more of that and they believe that it is in them, then they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. So it was a good day for Odegaard, Rob. I thought he looked back to...
Better,
captain who can make things happen. Saka just is a little diamond, mate. 22 years of age, 5 goals, yeah, 5 assists already this season.
Happen.
Reliable.
Things
get to his work.
Yeah.
You talked about Declan Rice. I've got him down, Rob. He's my halfway, and I know we're not halfway. He's my halfway player of the season. And I did say at the start of the season he might be up there. He's been excellent. Excellent for them. Mm. And maybe we slightly disagree in that. I know what you mean of total control, but I dare say when Liverpool won the title, there was games they weren't in total control, but they won the game and they have that front foot and their intensity and that. And I just feel like Arsenal, there's a belief coming together and there's a different way of winning the games that I think they didn't have. I think there's maybe two or three more options to them that they didn't have last season. So, but we'll see. Great win. Gave them a 4-point gap up until today. Obviously, that's closed up a little bit. But in line, if City drawing and Liverpool, they've got a little gap again, mate. And they sit top of the tree. And I'm sure they're going to want to see this December out now and see if they can get to the turn of the year at the top of the table.
Okay, let's move it on to just other results, really. Rob, let's have a little look down here and pick out stuff you want to pick out. Nottingham Forest, another disappointing result for them, Rob, and a big result for Everton, winning 1-0 with a Dwight McNeil strike in 67th minute. Steve Cooper has done a brilliant job at this football club. No question, Nottingham Forest, a brilliant job over the last few seasons. A little bit of pressure now. Is there any... You think we're nearing a switch there, Rob? Is there going to be a switch? And also, more importantly, do you think there should be a switch?
Yeah. No, and no. I'm hoping. I'd have to say the more noise I keep hearing is slightly worrying, Rob, because usually that noise comes from somewhere, and there's usually a source close to people at the club who have got us a temperature of what might be thinking. We know the ownership group there is very... ambitious, but we've seen Steve Cooper. In Steve Cooper, I would trust him. I'm a Forest fan. It hasn't maybe gone as swimmingly well as they can, but they're, where do they sit? They sit 15th in the table on 13 points.
Yeah.
Could do with a couple more wins, to get them sort of mid-table and comfortable, but we saw what he did last year, Rob. We saw how he worked under pressure and with so many players. I'd be amazed if Forest did something pretty soon and got rid of Steve Cooper. So, no. But great win for Everton. Again, after all that had gone on and disappointment of a 3-0 defeat where they didn't really get going against Manchester United after the 10-point deduction. Mm. This was more Everton putting two fingers up, showing who they were. Yeah. Sean Dyche has definitely got things turned around if you think of where they would be with the 10 points that they've lost. And in this game, my friend, I'm going to give you my underappreciated player of the week.
Well, go on then.
And I'm going to say this, Musty, in the hope that you understand that I mean. If I gave you a picture, or gave most people a picture, of James Garner, I guess 8 out of 10 wouldn't even know he's a Premier League footballer. That's kind of how sort of underappreciated, unknown he is. But he's a young player who came up from Manchester United, was bought for £15 million, so somewhere around $20 million, has been one of the most consistent players under Sean Dyche since he's been at Everton, can play in a number of positions, was outstanding, I thought, yesterday in just his appreciation, his ability, his tactical IQ, his clearances. I had some numbers, Rob, like he's 63 touches of the ball, 13 ball recoveries, 4 clearances, 11 final third passes, 3 long passes, 3 dribbles into the box, and my man of the match. And he's a player, Rob, who, if we think of Everton, we thought maybe the goalie, and then, Branthwaite and Tarkowski as a back two, and we think of Doucouré doing good things and Dominic Calvert-Lewin and maybe McNeil who got the goal and Jack Harrison's come in and gives... Yeah. You never really... He's somebody who's under the radar, and under the radar is underappreciated. So my underappreciated player of the week goes to James Garner.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it. I tell you, when I look at this lineup, Rob, in terms of what's different, because I got a better vibe, feel about this team from really early on, and I know the results weren't great at the beginning, but I think a couple, you might have mentioned actually all the players, Rob. Jared Branthwaite, I thought, was outstanding again. Him and Tarkowski is a game changer for Everton. That's a game changer. Young player, Branthwaite. I think he signed a new contract. Big player for the future. Excellent. James Garner, to your point, and then Jack Harrison. They're the three, really, that's in the team at the moment that's different, that makes them a better side. So I really like your shout, Rob, because James Garner can play. Right, he can play. He's different to a totally different to an Onana, Doucouré, or a Drissagana Gay. He's got a bit more technicality. Yeah. So you put him alongside, and it's Garner Gay at the moment, but it's going to be Onana when he gets recovers from his illness. Actually, the two of them together with Doucouré in front, making those runs into the box. I really like it, and I think you're absolutely spot on. James Garner, 22 years of age, big future. Gives them something different, and that blend, you know, in midfield, there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think it's a lovely blend in there that keeps possession of the football. So I like it. I really like it, Rob. James Garner, I think he's been an excellent addition, and it's a good shout. And a great 3 points for Everton Football Club. And Sean Dyche is the man, a perfect man to have right now, going through these difficult moments. I like him a lot. Played against him back in the day. Brilliant bloke. And again, just the ideal man to kind of keep things calm through these very difficult waters now. Again, now, Rob, they're only 2 points behind Luton.
Yeah, massive December, isn't it? December with so many points at stake is going to be massive for all those clubs in and around the bottom three. Yeah, good shout. Let's move it to Burnley. Eventually, was it eight times of asking, Burnley get the first home win, a 5-0 win against Sheffield United in a game that both teams desperately needed these points. But what a tonic for Vincent Kompany's team to put five past Sheffield United. Obviously, the Ollie McBurnie sending off, stupid reaction from the centre-forward really lets himself, his manager, his club down and was a bit a turning point in the game. But a huge win for Burnley. But a bit of pressure on Heckenbottom, Rob, now. I know that there's talk, I was just reading in one of the things there, he's saying... This pressure every week, and I get used to it. I'll just get on with my job. But last week it was at Bournemouth, wasn't it? This week against Burnley, if they're not going to win games there, where are Sheffield United going to win their games from? Only one win all season.
Yeah, it's just interesting, Rob, isn't it? Like, I would say, listen, we've not had a firing yet in the Premier League. It's pretty blooming remarkable, really.
No, it's crazy, yeah.
But they are still only 4 points behind Luton. They'd have to overcome Everton
from
as well.
Luton. Yeah, from Luton.
From safety, basically. Yeah. So they're still in touch. Yeah. Now, I would think that the ownership there, and this is just me, by the way, and you can think on both ways, like, you know, it would be a time now, right now, to make a change, to get that new manager to bump. Maybe you get a little bit of funds in the January window. The manager gets a few games to figure out what he might need. January, sign a couple of players. Give yourself a chance. That would absolutely make sense for me, and I'm somebody that is very patient with managers and don't want to see too many changes. I think it would make sense. Or, you know what, for the changes to the team, for the budget that they're working with, and that's what Paul Heckenbottom said, Rob, about afterwards, like, you know, for the budget, the resources that we have, we're trying our very, very best, that they say, you know what, we like him a lot. The manager's not the problem here. It is the finances and trying to find a team capable of competing in the Premier League. Let's stick with him. Let's stick with him throughout. If we go down, he got us there before. He can do it again. And that's a very valid reason as well. So there's your little choices. I'll be honest with you. I would go for the switch and try and stay in the division.
Yeah.
But I totally understand anybody else that say, you know what, let's stick with this guy. We like him. He cares about it. He does a good job. He did a great job getting us here. And on the budget that we have in the Premier League, it's going to be hard to stay up whoever's in manager with this football club. What do you think, Rob? Which way of that would you tend to go?
I'm similar. I kind of feel as though, you know, the McBurnie thing doesn't help, and it's not the manager's fault, but just a lack of control and emotion by a centre forward. I think when you're playing teams who Burnley, who were struggling at home, and you don't get a result, you lose 5-0 in the end. The optics just don't look good. And I just look the next four games, Rob, is Liverpool at home, Brentford at home, Chelsea away, Aston Villa away. Am I going into those games thinking, how many points am I going to get from there? And then all of a sudden we do it January, we're in, the halfway stage in the season, and we're adrift by 10, 11 points. That's a worry. So I'd be surprised if he sees this week out, I've got to be honest, right. and I hope I'm wrong,
that's
and I hope he's given time to put things right.
That's a bad loss, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a hurtful one, I think. Mm. I think if I'm part of an ownership, I'm starting to think, we need to just see if a change gives us a little bit of a bump and we can do things a little bit differently.
Bournemouth 2, Aston Villa 2, great game again. Such good goals in this one. Really good goals. All of the goals really well taken. I feel Bournemouth, Rob, are really starting to improve, playing good football again. This is on that busy window. Games going on all over the place. I looked up, Bournemouth are on the front foot against a good Villa side many, many times. So that ended 2-2. West Ham United 1, Rob. Crystal Palace 1 again. It's an Odson Edouard scores for Palace, equalises after Kudus scores for West Ham United.
Yeah.
And
Kudus,
probably of all the games, it was kind of this is a normal kind of game, 1-1, not tons of drama. And the last game we have on the list here, Rob, is Brentford. A good win for Brentford against Luton Town, and struggling to obviously to win games and to try and get enough points, even though that Luton Town right now are just out of the relegation zone. Goals from Mope, Benmee, I have here
me,
Brown,
Benmee and Jake and
Baptiste. So
Baptiste.
There's all your games, Rob. Anything else you want to pick out before we kind of sign out? There's just a brilliant weekend of football, isn't it?
Yeah, in a league that just doesn't do nil-nils, mate. We had 38 goals in match week 14 and we've got match week 15 coming up in a few days. So look out for our podcast midweek when we'll look back at all the midweek action. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.